We are joined by the host of Tiki and Tierney. It's coming up right after this on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. He is an NFL analyst on the other pregame show on CBS Sports Network. He is an Emmy Award winner. Brandon Tierney is my guest. Brandon, what's up, man? How are you?
Jim, how you doing today, pal? What's going on, man?
Good, man. How you feeling? How are things?
Things are good. No complaints here. Just another day in the city, ready to roll. You know how it is.
I know how it is. All right, so listen, if you were to go back to this past weekend, when you looked at how the Giants and the Jets played in Week 1 and Week 2, what were the first 2 weeks like in New York for Giants and Jets fans?
I'll start with the Jets. There were some actual expectations coming into the season. You know, we saw nice flashes from Sam Darnold coming into the at the end of last season. And you look at the offseason upgrades, obviously, bringing C.J. Mosley, you bring in an offensive-minded head coach, and you start to say, okay, obviously the Pats have another year or two on the throne here, but at least there's some forward momentum, there's some optimism. And then, of course, what happens? You flush down a 16-0 lead late against the Bills, you lose, you get embarrassed on Monday night, everybody's hurt, Darnold's got mono, Gase doesn't have any good... doesn't project any positive emotion, and the Jets feel almost like a funeral procession until Darnold gets back. The Giants, boy, the Giants, it was several different emotions. The first one was almost resignation, I would say, Jim. You come into the season, all right, you know, we've got to delicately work around the eventual divorce from a franchise icon with a couple of the championships in Eli. We've got a player that nobody believes we should have taken at number six, and quite frankly, we don't have the equity within the city for our fans to even have the conviction that we picked the right guy. But deep down, we know that this guy can play. We just need to figure out the right time to insert him. And of course, they play two games. They look horrendous. They look old. They look uninspiring. Here comes the kid off the bench, dropping dimes. He's got quick feet. The entire energy around the Giants has changed, and rightfully so.
We were talking to Brandon Tierney. So you see Jones, and he gets that start against Tampa Bay. What did you make of what you saw from him and how electric he was?
Well, you know, I think you even have to go back before the Bucs game here, Jim. He was in studio. He was doing an internship down at the Stock Exchange last summer. He just came in, and he was chopping it up with me and Tiki off air. And his disposition was just naturally calm. So I thought that was a good foreshadow. In hindsight, I don't know that I really thought about it then, to be honest with you. But now as I look back on that first meeting, I'm like, you know what? This kid has the perfect disposition to try to, you know, flourish in New York and step in for a franchise icon because he's got a slow heartbeat. And everybody was crushing the pick, and he just kept a tough chin. He said, okay, you know, I will eventually do what I do, and I will quell those detractors, that loud noise, that negative energy. And then you see him step on the field. You're like, "Whoa, we could get past page one of the playbook here. This guy's got a little wiggle. We can." There was one play where he actually felt the pressure in the pocket. He didn't waver too far from the pocket, but he took two quick steps to his left and he flung it off his back foot 40 yards on a rope, Jim. And I think that's where people said, "Wow, this isn't just a cute, you know, a little smart story from Duke. This kid's 6'5", who's 220." Who ran an impressive 40, who's got arm talent, who really just looks like he's ready and completely in control. He's immersed in the moment. He just fit. He looked like a third-year player. He didn't look like a rookie. Now, you want to say it's the Bucs? That's fine. That's fair. Still on the road. There was a different energy in that building that day because they retired. They put Rondé in the Ring of Fame at halftime, the Ring of Honor at halftime. So there was a little more juice maybe than an ordinary Tampa Bay Bucs game would be. It's been relatively benign there for a better part of a decade, whatever. But Daniel Jones, in one game, Jim, it's amazing, has just silenced every single detractor and every discerning voice. It's amazing.
Brandon Tierney joining us. All right, so we can say that's just the Bucs, but let me put it to you another way.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Giants win that game with Eli Manning at quarterback?
No, there's no way. If they're down 18 points, there's absolutely no chance that they win the game because they just don't have enough in the playbook that, you know, it's just... You have to do conventional stuff. You can't roll them out. You can't do misdirections. You can't do, you know, the things that the young modern quarterback can do. So, in fairness to Eli, again, if they're down by a couple of scores, no, he doesn't have the weaponry and he doesn't have the talent to do that by himself. You know, if it's 0-0 from the outset, who knows? The Bucs aren't that good. They seem pretty destined to try to want to give that game away. But I'll tell you this here, Jim. this is an interesting referendum, granted a quick one and an early one, on Pat Shurmur. I don't know if Pat Shurmur could coach, and quite frankly, I don't think anybody in New York believed before this game that he can coach. Think about his three previous seasons, Jim. 2 5-11s, 1 4-12. Two seasons with the Browns, one ugly season with the Giants, and he's sitting here saying, this guy's an offensive genius. This is the most pedestrian, pathetic offense I've ever seen. And then you start to see, oh, wow, this is what it looks like when you could get a little deeper in the playbook. You could do this, and you could do that, and I could mix this, and I could mix that. At least now people don't believe that Pat Shurmur is an unmitigated disaster.
Brandon Tierney joining us on the program once again. So what did you think when Saquon Barkley first suffered that injury? What kind of thoughts did you have?
You know, I'll tell you what, I texted Tiki. Tiki was in the booth for Fox with Rondé. I thought his knee exploded. It obviously is an ankle, and, you know, timetable 4 to 8, and we know he's a freak, but now we get to see what his if he has supernatural recuperative powers, which he very well might. Jim, I thought his knee exploded. I really did. You know, that's the thing. You take a quarterback at that, a running back at that spot in the draft. Yeah, quarterbacks could get hurt as well. I get it. Carson Palmer's knee got blown up. Tom Brady's knee got blown up. Jimmy Garoppolo's knee got blown up. Various draft selections. I get that as well. It's the NFL, and there's big bodies at high rates of speed and ridiculously violent collisions. And bodies get compromised. And while you could kind of protect yourself for a hit and almost kind of roll into it safely, sometimes you get pulled down from behind by somebody who's 240, and there's just no human salvation. So, you know, when you talk about draft equity, a top 10 pick on a running back, that's what you worry about. Look at Gurley with the arthritic condition in his knee. Saquon, narrowly averted disaster. He's such a good kid. He's such a weapon. In a weird way, I said this to Tiki too, Jim. In a weird way, this might be a bit of a silver lining, very much short-term, for the development of Daniel Jones. Now that he's not there, you're going to have to really look across the entire football field rather than, hey, in my back pocket, once the pressure comes, boom, let me dump it 2 yards to Saquon and let him make everybody miss. Now it will almost accelerate his development and force him to go through deeper progressions. Obviously, you want Saquon, but if there's a silver lining, that's the best I could give you.
Brandon Tierney joining us to talk some New York football. Before I let you go, let's talk about the Jets again. Mm-hmm. You mentioned they jump out to a 16-0 lead on the Bills in week one. It's a big statement against a divisional rival. And then they give up 17 straight and they lose that game. How did that feel in that moment?
I'll tell you, you want the honest answer? I was sitting in my man cave with my 4-year-old son, and I'm saying to myself, why the hell am I subjecting this young man to this game? Well, Jim, why am I doing it to this kid? You know, it happened to me, and I suffered through the decades. I get it. But am I going to really hand the baton to this harmless, you know, innocent little 4-year-old? Do I really need to do this?
Right.
It sucked. I mean, what do you want me to say? You got to modify expectations. You have to know when you have a team, and you have to know when you don't. And listen, I do this for a living. Not that I'm always right, but I obviously have a grip on the league, and I kind of know what's up. And I know when it's a stretch to say the Jets can compete, and I know when it's a stretch to say that it's not a stretch for them to have a representative team. I chronicled before, as soon as we started the interview, the conversation, that there was a positive energy with this team. But I want to point this out. I know you got to run. Well, this is important though for the Jets. Okay, Adam Gase. Now, I know he looked strung out on drugs with those ridiculous memes at his press conference. It was bizarre. I actually thought, and of course he wasn't, I actually thought I was okay with the hire. I thought for finally the Jets are insulating a young quarterback with a young, innovative offensive mind. But I'll tell you this right now. Adam Gase better change his body language quick, because you get one chance, and you know this, Romy, you get one chance to implement a culture of accountability and positivity and belief. And every time he slumps to that podium and he's looking down, his hat pulled over his eyes like a high school kid who doesn't want to get called on in the back of the class for a biology question, you got to project a little more forcefully, man. I still believe in Adam Gase, and the weapons are coming back. Sam is on the mend. He needs to change the body language. People feel it, and people don't like it, and neither do I.
I agree with you. The body language and the attitude, man, are terrible. And you only get that first chance, that one chance.
Yeah.
If you're trying to create that culture, it seems to me it's not working. One more thought about Darnold. Now,
sure.
The point, the expectation is, Brandon, that he's going to be back for week 5 against Philadelphia. He was quoted yesterday as saying, we're going to go on a little run here. It's going to be fun, but it's going to take a lot of work, end of quote. I mean, obviously, you want your starting quarterback to have Well, good body language and a good attitude. But from what you've seen, is there any reason to think they're going to go on a run?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit here. I think when you go macro view, you're obviously a national show. I'm a national show. I think macro fans are like, please, the Jets, whatever. Wake me up when they're relevant. I think when you get a little more micro, to get a little deeper into the weeds, you really do realize, and I don't just mean Le'Veon Bell and C.J. Mosley. Those are obvious ones. But their starting tight end, who, trust me, is going to be good, Herndon, suspended the first four games of the season. And I almost look at it and I say, wow. So I'm almost, in a way, galvanized. Yeah, they blew the 16-point lead against the Bills, and I'm sitting there saying, man, Darnold missed a couple of throws I really thought he would make this year. But at least now I could say he had mono. So the belief is once he's healthy, he will connect on those throws. The schedule is harsh, man. But if you want to contend, you got to beat some good teams. So they're coming off. They'll get to the bye. You'll get an Eagles team that was very beat up. And if you can start to string together a single win, you got Miami twice. You got the Giants down the road on the schedule. You get the Bills again, obviously, who are pretty good. And Bills Mafia is rolling. Do I think they 0-3 is too tough for this team? But they're not going 2-14. Put this in the bank, Jim. There will be a point this football season where people look at the Jets and say, that's what I thought I would get in September.
He is the host of Tiki and Tierney. It's coming up right here after this show on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Also an NFL analyst on the other pregame show on CBS Sports Network. He is an Emmy Award winner, valued member of the CBS family, Brandon Tierney. My man, BT, I will see you this weekend in New York.
Love it. Thanks a lot, Romy. Anytime, brother.
Thanks for coming on, Brandon. Appreciate you. Brandon Tierney joining us. Talking. That's a lot of content in one segment. Good content. Jets and Giants both. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so we're open. I've got Anthony Walker, Colts linebacker, coming up at 40 past. The next segment is wide open. All right, anything you want to hit on. We can talk NFC North as well.